This is a HeadGum Original.
Failing to prepare is preparing to fail.
And you know what I say? Failing to bottom is bottoming to fail.
Oh, topping to bottom is bottoming to top. Okay. When you really think about it.
Why am I already recording? This is crazy. Okay, well then we'll go ahead and get in. I'll mark the time. I'm going to do a clap for me. One, two, three. Oh, what?
Sorry. I didn't know if you wanted me to do a clap for me.
I know. I was
ready.
Steve, the fuck?
I've never podcasted before.
You definitely have. But I will say this. I understand your nerves. You must be so nervous because you're on the one and only RuPaul's Drag Race Recap podcast in the whole fucking world. I'm Mono Gapien, and I'm here with writer, comedian, actor, UCB juggernaut.
Thank you.
Steve Slaga.
Hello. Thank you for having me again.
Steve.
The last time I was on this esteemed podcast, yeah. I was in a room at the Madonna Inn for a wedding.
Oh my God. And I was dead. I was dying.
You were
sick.
Holed up in some unknown motel, God knows where, dying.
I was at an A-loft in Austin, Texas, dying.
Yeah.
Like, dying. Like, where I was, like, supposed to go to a wedding and flew to a wedding. And once we got there, we're like, we cannot show up at a wedding this sick.
Yeah.
So we didn't go to the wedding we flew to Texas to go to, which felt so crazy.
They took one look at you and they said, goodbye, not on our day.
No, they not on today. They literally said, we've been in touch with the doctors and we can't allow you to continue in this competition. And, yeah.
And they said, this is our day of holy matrimony, not holy nasty mono.
And I said, no. Hey, Steve, you've been name checked this season. Do you want to do a quick postmortem? Anything we need to say on season 16? And or All Stars 9?
Yeah. Well, I guess I have a hot take on season 16.
Okay, what's your hot take?
And I do, you know, and no shade. You can
grill
cut
me.
This out. If you,
no,
if
grill
you,
me like a panini.
Well, it's not about you. It's about some of your guests. I feel sometimes you have guests that maybe their takes are a little less spicy. Maybe they like more of a mild.
Yes.
And so sometimes I'm listening to an episode being like, they watched a completely different episode than me because this was garbage. But everybody has their own tastes and I don't want to yuck anyone's yum.
Well, season 16 was divisive. One of my big postmortem takes is because it was one of the highest rated seasons in the history of the show.
Mm-hmm.
The finale did huge numbers. And I
Good.
Did like it, but I didn't love it. What's your hot take?
Those are both names of sizes at Cold Stone Creamery. Like it, love
oh
it, gotta
God.
Have it. So like season this- 5 is a gotta have it.
You're right.
Season 15 is a like it and season 15 is a love it and season 16 is just a like it. Maybe not even a like
yeah.
it. Maybe a kid's cone, to be honest.
It
Here's
might
my
be
problem.
A mini kid's cone.
Yeah. Yeah. A sample.
A sample.
Season 16 is a sample spoon.
Season 16 is walking in and hearing the beginning of a Cold Stone song, which you know all yeah. too well.
We're cheerful and we'll holler because we got a dollar. We're thankful because we all are the Cold Stone family.
Thank you so much, Steve. That's what I wanted from you.
Of course, yeah. Here's where I'm at.
Okay.
This is what I think would be a great twist for season 17.
Ooh.
No.
Kill them. Oh.
Kill them. Yes.
Kill
them.
Put them
on
all.
An island to die.
To die.
Hunger Games. have you seen the supercut of Chad Michaels talking about how it's the Hunger Games?
I've definitely seen like the snippets, but why did someone like make it dramatized?
Somebody made something of everything with this show. It's all been
oh my God. I can't with the and now there's the new the clinical takes on them. Like now there's like it's crazy. Have you seen the
yeah.
clips of the British man who God bless you, British man? There's a British man who's like going back into Reddit, we can now look at the third post that Candy posted about leaving the show.
I know who you're talking about.
Like,
I will
God bless
not say
him.
The name. God bless him.
He's the same as me. I'm not better than him, but
well,
his clinical take on it is very funny to me.
Yes, the accent adds to it also, but I know exactly who you're talking about. But hey, yes. we're all just trying to make a buck. We're just trying to talk about a show that we enjoy.
And he's more successful at it than me, so like, props to your mama.
I don't know about that. You've had Crystal Method on this show.
Yeah, that's true.
You've had Crystal Method.
That was cute.
You've had Elliot. You've had Elliot, not with one T.
Two T's. Not with one T. If only there was a video component, everyone would be laughing right now. But I am going to out Steve for doing an X over his mouth. That was very, very appropriate.
Okay,
well, with Elliot with two T's? No, not that. Not that.
So, my twist for season 17, no returning challenges. Everything brand new.
I love that.
Mono,
I
don't need another Saturday Night Live. I could go. I didn't even finish Sound of Ruzik. I turned it off. I said, I get it. I get what this is. It's the same as it's always been.
I was in a gay bar, so I was able to watch it, you know, in the right setting where everyone was going, what?
Right. Yeah.
What? Yeah. Put another finger in my butt. Like the way the show should be enjoyed.
Yeah, with a finger up your butt, a drink in your hand.
Uh-huh. And a hand to God.
And a hand to God. Finger to butt, to butt to drink to hand to God. Yes.
That's the ass to mouth thing I like to do.
I just feel I'm fatigued because it's like this show is so beholden to its traditions and its history. And it's like, we're going to have to renovate a room. What's left? Bathrooms. Oh. We're going to have to do a makeover. And then, you know, this person,
budget.
They look too similar. Yeah.
They spent less money on this season than last season. Like, they're not spending money on the challenges anymore, which is insane because we know they're making money. We know they're making a lot of money. And to the people who may or may not know this, when your show wins Emmys, you get more money every time your show wins Emmys. That's like, literally it's in the contract of TV shows. Yeah. So they've won Emmys 6 or 7 years in a row, which means their budget has increased by millions.
I know that because of all the Emmys I've won. So I'm aware. Yeah.
Truly right now, Steve is sitting in a room with made of feathers and gold. It is audacious, gaudy, and over the top in every way.
Miami's bought me all my feathers and gold. And don't forget to purchase my new album, Feathers and Gold. It's dropping in 2032. It's
not
gonna
too
take a
much
while.
Not too much improv. We might make the listeners mad. The listeners don't like improv.
They
didn't live for the Pat Regan episode.
No more fun. Funny I was gonna say that because when I was slightly reading some of your guests for not being spicy enough, I was going to say long live Pat and long live Oscar. Those were some fun ones with some fun juicy takes that I enjoyed.
Oh my God, Pat just truly said fuck Michelle Visage. I was like, oh my God.
Someone has to fuck Michelle Visage. She's not home enough
for
her husband
not his
to do
husband.
It. No, she's not home ever. That's
no,
my
she's
one.
Not.
If I was ever in a roast of Michelle Visage, my joke would be something about like, Michelle has two beautiful daughters who hate her for abandoning them.
And I love it. You'd probably get the Utica edit, which I would live for.
Good.
Yeah. You don't care. You don't give a fucking shit.
No.
Okay, wait, so season 16, crazy, funny, weird.
Yeah, everyone, I also felt, the other thing I'll say about 16 is I just feel like every queen was only good at one thing. You know, we had Nymphia, phenomenal at design and looks, and as we saw in the finale, great lip syncer, but when it came to, you know, writing verses or doing that comedy, prepared comedy stuff, not great. Q, great seamstress. Great at sewing garments.
Oh man.
Sometimes beautiful garments, sometimes the Lollapalooza garment, but always impeccably sewn.
How funny. She truly was the Taylor Swift of the season. Beautiful garments, gorgeous dresses, gorgeous
beautiful
gowns.
Beautiful gowns. That's my take. What do I think of the season 16 queens? Beautiful gowns.
Beautiful gowns.
Beautiful gowns.
Gorgeous gowns. You are 100% on the money. I do think Safira was the most multi-talented.
And look where it got her.
And look where it got her. It did not serve her. The four wins curse continues. We don't win four challenges on Drag Race. Don't do it. It's bad. Yeah. It's bad luck. It never works for you.
If you win four challenges, then you're going to get canceled for... I forget what Sherry Pie did, but that's where I was going with that.
Yeah, Sherry Pie. What a fucking monster. Hey, and the Drag Race cancellation group grows, but we don't want to talk about that.
No.
There's no time to talk about that. Another X over the mouth. We're going to do a whole episode on All Stars 9 meeting the queen. So I don't want to spill all the tea, but what are your All Stars 9 vibes?
Oh, yes. I texted you about this. I'm saying this right now on the Lord's Day, whatever day you release this. Mm-hmm.
Tomorrow.
I predict. So the rumors are spinning. The rumor mill is churning that this is possibly a non-elimination season.
I've heard that rumor too.
Yes. I've been hearing that for a little bit now. And
it has to be. That rumor has to be true because there's eight bitches.
And the winner gets just a donation to charity. I'm telling you right now, at least a double crowning, maybe a triple crowning.
Maybe
season 9 of All Stars will add 8 queens to the Hall of Fame. But if nobody's going home and it's going to be a feel good charity kind of thing, then there's no way. The opportunity to give a crown to 2 people and donate $400,000 to charity, it'd be stupid if they didn't. I think it's a double. We're going to have a double win for sure. And
It's also another big write-off. I mean, just a huge write-off for them, which they want. They want that.
That's other prediction is in the finale, either it's a double crowning, or if it's not that, then in the finale, RuPaul is going to say, "Oh, also surprise, you're going to win $200,000 as well."
They're not going to win anything.
I guess not.
Another rumor is they were given a chunk of money to just show up and do the show. So that's good. That might be the case. Like just being like, hey, the rumor is something around $50,000, $70,000, just money to come do the show. And then I guess the charity is additive.
Yeah. Maybe that's enough. Maybe they're like, you know what? We'll take $70,000 guaranteed over the chance at $200,000.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
If I saw this guy, I mean, look, if I saw All Stars 8 cast, I'd be like, no, I'll ride it out for the $200,000. This cast, I'd be like, you know what? I'll take the $70,000 and just see how it goes.
I am excited. I think this is finally Roxy's. I mean, Roxy's clearly at the end. I don't know this, but my gut says Roxy's there till the end. One of the big contenders.
Right, right.
Whereas in All Stars 2, she was clearly not the big contender. No.
She was there to make it clear, but she was clearly not.
Yeah.
Ooh, I hope that wasn't one of your.
No, actually, it felt too obvious, which I guess this is a good time to, should we transition to what we're here for?
That's what I was trying to do, Mono.
So we're filling in some time between now and All Stars 9. And I thought, what better time than to create a dumb top 10 list of obscureness? And specifically, I said, Steve, hey, would you create a top 10 list of accidentally funny moments from Drag Race with me? And Steve said, yes, absolutely.
Because I don't think I've ever laughed at Drag Race in an unaccidental way. I don't think there's ever been something presented to me as comedy at Drag Race that I've been like, ha, ha, ha. Not once.
There's a couple times. I'll be honest. There's been like 4 times where it was presented as funny and I laughed.
Okay. Was it Snatch Game or like a stand up or roast? Because I'm not thinking about those. If the queen came up with it and it was supposed to be funny, it was funny. I'm not counting that. I'm counting like a Merukin Horu Storu Covenant Guru.
That's hell. That one might be on my list.
Uh-oh.
That one might be on my list. There's a moment, or if nothing else, it'll get an honorable mention. But I asked you to dive deep into the annals of Drag Race herstory and ask yourselves, what is the best moments of accidentally funny Ru moments? Because those are usually the ones that really shine. Those are the ones that win the day.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk about it.
Those are the ones that get memed and then Drag Race steals and repurposes and is like, see, that's ours. We did this. And it's like, yeah, accidentally.
Accidentally. Very accidentally. There's two. I know you're like me. You like weird, obscure shit.
Yeah.
Like the weirdest moments. In fact, oftentimes you'll text me being like, did you catch this absolutely like tiny moment from the episode that was actually the funniest thing that happened?
And like, usually you have.
Well, usually like certainly there were a couple with Maya Iman LePage this season. I don't know. I don't want to steal anything from your list, but Maya Iman LePage had some big ones. I'm going to go like DragCon. I Googled DragCon 1980. That was amazing.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about Googling DragCon 1980. And then it ended up being like, she just happened to find like an AI image, right? Wasn't that like the second? Yeah. So it worked.
It worked. And again, so these are the things that make me laugh the very most on Drag Race. So in a
it might be. I don't have anything from Maya Iman LePage, but I'm also remembering just the earnestness of, you know, when you're out flipping with your cousins.
God, so many good ones. Or when Rue said, you're kind of quiet and reserved. And she said, no. Maya Iman LePage is the queen of accidental comedy.
I hear she's the mystery queen for All Stars 9.
Eight is a small number. Eight is a small number. Do you live? I already live for the moments where Chanel is going to be the funny. Chanel is going to be the most accidentally funny on this cast.
Chanel, and this is a reference for only me and you and maybe two other people, but I feel like Chanel is going to show up and be the Clate Banchett of All Stars 9, which was me at Bad Drag Race, just not giving a fuck, just refusing to put in a modicum of effort at any point in the challenge.
When you did Bad Drag Race, and I hope you'll come back for All Stars, I deeply, deeply hope you will.
You know, I never say no. You know, Mono, I never say no. I never say no.
Because I remember one night in particular, I mean, you're always so funny, but one night in particular, you were making me laugh so hard that I was worried for my health. I was like, really worried that I would not come back because you were suffocating laughing. I think it was when you were like being eliminated or something and you were like, basically predicted it or something? Or was it like you threw a fit after getting eliminated?
I wouldn't have thrown a fit after getting eliminated. I think I said I was happy. I think you might be thinking of the final lip sync between me and someone else, and I just sat down at the judges' table and I read all of your notes.
It was really sick. Or like when it was like we were doing like a redemption challenge, but you had just been eliminated.
Oh, no. What it was all the queens were back on stage and you announced that I was safe and then realized I wasn't there. And I called out from backstage that it was too crowded, so I wasn't going on.
So fucking stupid. Anyways, okay. So I think
we gotta
now
get to this.
We got to get to this. We have 10 moments to get through. Why don't you hit us with the first one, Steve, that you find an accidentally funny moment in the number 10 slot?
Yeah, I have a lot of musical. I'm going to tell you right now, I have a lot of musical. So sometimes I might sing them for you. My number 10 is,
okay,
I wear heels to brighten the mood.
Love my that. Balloons my balloons have attitude. Love that. Accidentally funny. Yeah, yes. Specifically the rehearsal process where Lucian Piani, rest in peace, is saying like, just stop doing the opera thing. And Fifi's like, got it.
Yeah.
And then she goes back to it.
Yeah. Yeah. Fifi's like, I have an idea. How about I don't listen to
I
you?
I don't. I love it. Man, Fifi is good on this TV show.
Yeah. Also, just like the lyrics, because you could change like a little bit of it, but like some things had to stay the same. And just, I wear heels to lighten the mood. My balloons have attitude.
Like, is what they landed on.
Yeah.
Because those are the lyrics they created.
Yeah. I guess balloons were titties.
I guess so. My balloons have okay. attitude. Both yeah. of their performances were insane. I will say yeah. this, but Fifi, it's so funny that when you go back, you're like, oh yeah, Sharon's insane. But Fifi was just shinier in terms of it, pure insanity that you can't help but love.
Yeah. You gotta give it to Fifi O'Hara for committing.
She did.
Fifi O'Hara will commit to her feelings and her emotions. And
I thought you were going to say the shit. She will commit to the shit.
She'll commit to the shit. Yeah.
Wow. That's a good one, man.
And that was all in front of Pamela Anderson.
Wow. That was so crazy. And she gets so excited when she's wearing a blonde wig and Pamela's like, you look like me.
Yeah. It wasn't even a good blonde wig.
No, it was a really bad one is what I wanted to say with all of my heart. That is a good one. And then even when they're later, she's later being like, I wear heels that hide in the moon. Yeah. Like she like yeah. keeps sneaking it in.
Yeah. Would Damn. You, but I guess here's the thing. Would you listen to Lucien Piani?
You know, no. I mean, I will say if he was in the street with a broken glass to my neck, probably.
Yeah, that's would, too.
Best to at that point, but in the Rue studio, no. And then, okay, we're gonna cover what number 9 is on the list, but first, silence, Steve. I feel like taking a break. Bring back my break. Okay, we're back. We're getting into the number 9 most accidentally funny moment in Drag Race history. And I'm going to hit you with it. Okay.
Okay. Hit me hard.
I'm going to hit you hard. Oh, I'm going to go for another great. Yeah. Okay.
I was practicing for when you hit me.
Yeah. Don't worry. You're going to get beat. This is a weird one, which is why I love it. I'm going to go with Britta Filter being proud of Aiden Zane after hating her the entire season.
Oh, that's good.
Like she goes home and then she's quoted as saying, I'm proud of that bitch. And everyone is like, what the fuck are you talking about?
You
bullied her the whole season. What are you talking about?
The disassociation that Britta pulled off by like immediately being like, oh, I liked Aiden. Or maybe she thought, like, that behavior, I always clock, it drives me crazy because I'm always wondering, are you delusional? Mm-hmm. Or do you think I'm fucking stupid? Are you going cuckoo in the brain and you think that you are proud of Aiden and you really truly feel that? Or do you think I'm so stupid that I will believe this obvious lie? Like, that kind of behavior really triggers me. So that's a good one for this list.
Yeah, and you know what sucks is I think the answer is both. I think the answer is both, unfortunately. It's like, oh, I'm like, I've been on an emotional roller coaster, so now I'm at peace with it. And I want to look like I've won the moment, so I'm going to kind of flip the narrative.
Little burrito of lots of unintentional funny in one kind of end of an episode.
Yeah.
Because the song, if I'm not mistaken, was Frozen's Let It Go.
I think you're 100% right. Oh my
from
God.
The Broadway version. And Aiden had the contact lens.
Yes. Sideways so contact lens that they kept zooming in on just to be like, what a moron.
Yeah.
How dare her contact move around in her head?
Yeah. How dare she blink? What the fuck is her problem, that bitch? She blinks so her eyes get dry. What a fucking idiot.
Bring back Aiden Zane. She deserves a redemption.
She has some, I don't think I follow her, but I've seen some fun looks. And even her reunion looks I really liked. You know,
I like her small hair brand. I'm not even kidding. Like the way she's leaned into her small brand. When I see a post, I'm like, oh yeah, that's your thing. That's great.
Yeah. And I mean, there's so many people who are kind of like dragged in their first season for being one specific thing. And then all of a sudden it's their brand and we rejoice when they come back, you know,
we gotta rejoice. Yeah, that was a good one. And yeah, it was an iconic moment. Britta, who I do think is a marvelously talented queen, like does also deserve a redemption because I think she would kill it. Like, certainly her edit would be different.
Yeah.
Like, there's no way it would be the same. So that's why, whether it's I'm a villain and I don't care, or I am a really cool, nice person. Like, either one I want to see.
Britta, I feel the same way about Britta as I feel for, as I felt for Raja O'Hara in season 11. It's really difficult because the show is very meta about some things, but not about other things. So like, Britta didn't really hate Aiden. Britta hated that the show was so very clearly keeping Aiden around, even though Aiden was bad at the show. But Britta can't say, I'm so mad at producers for fucking with me like this.
Yes.
So instead, it's taken out on Aiden. And it's the same with Raja being 1,000,000,000% correct that that episode was fully designed for Plastique with the visit and the Rue hug and all that. But they can't have Raja say, I'm so mad that the producers are showing their cards so strongly and they're so obviously setting this up for Plastique, and that's so frustrating to be good, but looked over for no other reason than the producers just want to shine the light on someone else instead for no real reason. And so I feel for Britta and Raja, and anytime like on any reality show, when you know like the problem isn't what the show's telling you the problem is.
Absolutely. Literally, they sign a contract that says you can't, also you can't say, like, you can't talk about production on camera. You sign a contract that says that.
Unless you're Tamisha Iman. Oh, okay. Mono, I've been meaning to ask you, can I have your Tamisha Iman TV login password?
Yes, absolutely.
Because I know you've been subscribed to Tamisha Iman TV since season 13.
I have. My account got hacked.
Oh,
my data got stolen.
And then
Tamisha sent me a personal email to apologize. Well, her apology was, this isn't my fault. You made a mistake. But I still appreciated the email.
Yeah. Well, I'm really excited because I hear, I think just yesterday, Rachel Bloom got her Tamisha Iman sneakers.
I was going to say, literally the next thing I was going to say was, can I borrow your Tamisha Iman sneakers? Assuming you had not gotten them yet. Okay, what's number eight, Steve?
Okay, number eight. Somebody else who production didn't know how to deal with properly. One Reverend Dr. Silky Nutmeg Ganache comes into the workroom. And early on, she's like, back in Chicago, I say attitude check, and everyone says, fuck you, bitch. And then, so she did it once, attitude check, and everyone goes, fuck you, bitch.
People
and then
were about, like, she's fun. Yeah,
about 25 minutes and one Miley Cyrus video visit later.
Miley Cyrus horsey ride later.
Yes, one Miley Cyrus horsey ride later. The temperature has completely changed, and they've all decided, oh, I'm not going to like this person. And so we get an iconic attitude check
and everyone silence.
Crickets. And just so it's crazy because in that moment you'd think production would be like, all right, you know what, we might be planning to hit the Silky Nutmeg Ganache a little too hard. We might want to pull back a little bit because this is a truly great, fun, incredible queen, but she might do better if we don't push her all the way to the end. Let's try to make the viewers like her instead of completely like make her look like a doofus.
Yes.
Just that moment they should have been like, oh wait, okay.
Uh-huh.
Let's not.
This didn't work. We thought this would work and it did not work.
Attitude check.
Coo, 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 coo.
That's what we needed. Oh, they probably did do a coo.
Might have if memory serves. But
does that have a name? Coo, 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 coo.
I guess people call it the shady rattlesnake noise or the shady noise.
Okay. I heard it on like an episode of Buffy once. It's like a stock. It's from like a free.
Yes.
Like you could add shady rattlesnake to drag her. That's not owned by Drag Race.
No, it's not owned.
I'm surprised you don't have a coo, 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 coo.
I am shocked too. I am shocked too. As the only drag podcast, we should be taking care of that. The full tea is we edit our episodes too quick. Because you know episodes drop Friday night and we give them an episode on Monday. You're welcome.
They're
You're
hungry.
Fucking welcome.
You need to keep them fed.
Yes.
They're hungry.
They're very hungry, the girls.
But I'm going to send an email. It's headgum@headgum.com. Mm-hmm. And I'm just going to say, get the Shady Rattlesnake for Mono. He needs it.
Thank you.
Of course. I try to use my voice when I can.
You always amplify voices in the most meaningful way.
I will say, I try to.
Silky Nutmeg did finally get her redemption on Canada versus the World.
Yeah, good for her. And All-Stars.
Yeah, All-Star 6
Kylie
too.
Kylie Sonique, was, yeah. All-Star 6.
I mean, she became the assassin, right?
Yeah.
She was, honestly, and I think she should have been in the Final Four over Eureka.
Absolutely. Oh, no, I have to update. I just thought of an unintentionally funny one.
There's a lot of them. Okay, should I say my next one?
Yes.
I'm going to give you number 7. Number 7. Also, I think Silky Nutmeg and Nash should have won Canada versus the World. No shade to Raja. But I just...
That's one of my favorite lip syncs. That, yeah. Celine Dion, River Deep. Yeah, that's a great lip sync, and I agree.
I just thought it would have been funnier, but I think they were like Raja's more normal.
Yeah, and watching Brooke like just living for both of her season 11 sisters in that lip sync. That Canada versus the World really made me turn a corner on Brooklyn Heights and be like, you know what?
Yeah.
I wish every Drag Race host of every franchise was having as much fun and enjoying this as much as she seems to be. Yeah.
But she's also come into it. I think she's like, yeah. I need to have fun. What am I doing?
Yeah. Also, she only has to do Canada once a year. Yeah. She doesn't have to then go to UK to do two different things and then down under. Rise of Lights. Down under.
Can't wait to hear Michelle's takes on drag. Okay. Number 7 of most accidentally funny moments in Drag Race history. I am going to give you a deep cut. In season 13, Rue is in the workroom chatting with Candy about something. She sets Candy up by saying, "What are your musings on that, Candy?" And Candy Muse replies, "I love it." And something about it, of course Rue laughs in her face, but everything about it makes me laugh because Rue was like using wordplay and like clearly hoping to get a tee-hee-hee out of her, and Candy just very flatly says, "I love it."
Yeah.
And then Rue laughs in her face and Candy doesn't understand what just happened. Candy's like, "What's happening?"
Because you watch it and you like, it's like watching that scene, you wonder what's going on inside Candy's mind at the moment. And it's like, because she clearly wasn't listening to Rue. So yes, I imagine Candy's inner monologue was, "Bah!"
Yes, you're so right. It was a non-listening moment. It's like, what's the safest thing to say here? Just say, I love it.
I'd reference how that can happen in an improv scene when you're so focused on what you're going to say that you're not listening. But I would never talk about improv on a podcast.
Don't you dare. And yes and or have fun. And what did you do with your bed now that there's so many feathers in your room? Because I don't see your bed anymore.
Mono, it's the craziest thing. It floated away. It flew away.
No.
Well, I have that gorgeous wall window. It's just a window. It's a wall that's
Window. Yeah.
Well, I opened it to
with
get a
zipper,
breeze.
Because it has a zipper on it.
A glass zipper. Yeah, which you can only get if you're as rich as I am off of my Emmy money. So I unzipped my wall window and my bed flew away into the sky. So
that is fucking nuts.
Yeah. It was honestly... It was, I'm trying to decide if it was beautifully terrifying or terrifyingly beautiful, but it was, if we ever did top 10 moments of furniture flying out of my window, it would be two or three for sure. But we're not going to talk about improv.
We won't talk about it. And later I'll ask you about that glass zipper because I understand that it fit your hand just so. Right? I feel so terrible for your stepsisters, though, because they were like,
"Oh, I don't feel bad for my stepsisters. They're racist and homophobic, and they're in prison. So,
fair.
I don't feel too bad. Yeah,
fair. Okay, what's moment number 6 on the most accidentally funny Rue moments?
Okay, I'm mixing things up a little bit because I want to go a little
more.
Yeah, and I want to go a little more less obvious.
I know it's more fun to talk about the less obvious ones.
Okay. Okay. This one might only be for, so as a card carrying member of the Dead Mom Club, this mm-hmm. one might seem too sad for people, or also mm-hmm. might seem like I'm mocking someone's tragedy. So because
but
of
come,
that, but
come
I can
from a personal place.
Yes,
for you.
I can, because it is, I can only say it's so funny specifically to me
mm-hmm.
is going back to All-Star 6, you made me think of this when you mentioned Eureka. The All-Star 6 talent show, she's singing a song that has nothing to do with her mom. It's about, like, uh-huh. it's just like some generic stock, like, we can all live in a better world. Let's be inspired. Yeah. Let's do better. And then there's a projection on her skirt that's just her mom's face and says, like, R.I.P.
Yes. Yes.
So I'm going to have to put as number... Is this 7 or 6?
Wow.
I'm going to put
your projection of Eureka's mom's face on her skirt.
Yeah,
also,
I think
just
it was the
randomly
years.
Clapping. Yeah, just randomly clapping at the season 10 finale.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that too.
Like, that's what it was, I think. It was a projection of her. It was like so weird.
Oh,
so
that's
weird.
So, oh, so it wasn't even a, it wasn't even like a photo.
No.
It wasn't even like, no, at least use the photo that you used at the funeral. Don't be tacky. Don't make it about yourself and your finale.
Yeah, Drag Race. Don't make it about yourself,
oh
you fucking
gosh.
Assholes.
And the thing is, I truly like Eureka's whole story about that. It really got me. I really like Eureka, and I completely understand
mm-hmm.
where and why she would do that. And I do think, like, the intention is beautiful.
Sure.
I just also think it's so, like, because there's just a moment where somebody's like, oh, what are you doing? Well, this is someone's mom that died, and we're going to project it on her dress while she sings about living in a better world.
You're,
so,
Steve, you're on the money. It's also because it's that thing where it's like, this is so weird, but you, all you can do is clap and say, good job, good job, good job. Like, you, there's, you can't call out how strange it is, because
and
that
I think
would
that
be gauche.
Was part of it too, because also sometimes there are times when I'm like, you know, maybe it's an interview or something mm-hmm. like that, and I'm thinking, like, would it be tacky to use my mom died in this situation to, like, mm-hmm. enhance my odds? And so
no.
I also feel there was a little bit of Eureka being like, look, my mom died, and that sucks, but at least I can use it to not go home first on the talent show.
Yeah.
and anybody, any, like, so many people's moms would say, if I die, use it all you want for your career. So mm-hmm, I have mm-hmm. I have no qualms with Eureka. I don't want to seem like I'm insulting or taking away from Eureka's tragedy or trauma.
No, no, you come
I love
from
Eureka, but that, the
that is funny. That is good. Funny. I agree. And that happens a couple times in Drag Race, frankly, where it's like this side trauma is now being wedged into the, can you design a toilet challenge?
Yeah.
It's like, designing this toilet reminded me of my boyfriend who used to stunt crash motorcycles, and yeah. I miss him every day. And it's mm-hmm. like, okay, here we go. Story, I guess.
The door is Roxy Andrews' mom. Opens.
Yes. Fuck. Okay, you ready for number 5?
I'm ready for number 5.
This is a weird one. This is a deep, weird cut, because I like talking about weird, deep cuts. At the season 3 reunion, there's a moment where they talk, India Farah and Mimi, I'm First, are talking about, of course, the drag queen lift heard around the world.
Mm-hmm.
And they talk about Mimi being eliminated. And they talk about how weird it was. And Mimi says, I want to apologize for picking you up, India. And to apologize, I brought you a gift. And Mimi presents a t-shirt that says, I was picked up by Mimi, I'm First. And all I got was this lousy t-shirt.
Oh, and I hope she sold those.
And no one laughs. No one laughs. No one smiles. It cuts to a deadpan India, deadpan Rue. No one enjoys it. Everyone lets Mimi know, you suck, and you suck on top of sucking. Like,
I kind of like that t-shirt.
Yeah.
I think that's really funny. I think that what Mimi did is funny, but I think it's hysterical that the show and the queens and RuPaul were like, nope. We're not giving you this. We have no more for you. You're here out of contractual obligation. We're not, which is why, speaking of Mimi, I'm First, when I saw the fan vote and Mimi, I'm First, I was shocked.
You could not believe it.
I could not believe it. That was it. Sorry,
yeah, First
quote. I should have learned them.
I am with you. That was a funny moment too, because honestly, now bring Mimi, I'm First back again for an All-Stars. Now it would be insanely funny.
Yeah.
Insane.
Would she even? Like, some people I feel are so burned. Like, I don't think you're ever going to get a Fifi back. I don't think you're ever going to get a Mimi back.
Wow. No, if it's burned.
If it's like Fifi or Mimi, if it's just like two of the same syllable, the show doesn't want you.
Yeah.
Like, remember season 7? Tutu?
Oh my God,
Tutu,
I hated
LaRue.
Tutu.
Yeah.
Tutu LaRue, she sucked. And well, remember that canceled queen from season 11? Bye bye, my dear.
Yeah. Yes. Well, she got in trouble because she her talent show was killing all those rabbits.
Yeah, that was a problem. And internationally hated queen from season 12, Gigi Good. Everyone hates her.
Oh, yes, Gigi. All right. Yeah.
She's hated.
Did she go? I think she went home second, I believe.
I can't remember.
Yeah,
I remember her really stinking it up.
Yeah, the show was so unfair to Gigi Good.
The show.
I'm gonna say, do you mind if I'm brave for a moment?
I want to see you be brave. Yeah.
I'm going to say what I want to say and let the words fall out. Justice for Gigi Good.
Justice
for Gigi Good.
She was treated horribly.
She was. All right.
We all know Jan won that Madonna challenge, and Gigi had to sit there and just watch.
That is another one. Exactly. When I'm like talking about Britta and talking about Raja, that's like the purest form of that. Is like, Jan wasn't upset that she'd lost the Rusical. Jan was upset because it hit her. I'm not winning this show. They don't give a fuck about me.
Yeah.
If they give a fuck about me, I'd win the musical. I didn't. I'm done. I'm kaput. And so to repurpose that to make it seem like she's like a sour loser. I mean, look, she took it to the bank. You know, everybody has a Jan robe.
A lot of gotta have those robes. They look silky and soft.
Yeah. I wear my Jan robe because my whole wall is a window. And so I need my modesty.
Yeah, you must. Because you have a big old floppy cock. So you need to cover up.
It has to be coiled like a hose.
That's true. Oh my God. Remember when your dick got caught in my front door?
That was so embarrassing.
Steve had left for the night. I said, goodbye. Mm-hmm. Have a nice night. I closed the door behind me. And it was so embarrassing because you knocked on the door 20 seconds later.
Well, I got home. I got home and realized that my hugely long penis was still stuck in your door. So I had to go follow my dick back to your door and then knock on it.
You followed your nose wherever it goes to back to my front door. And I'm so glad we sorted that out. I was plumb embarrassed.
Yeah, I was too, because how silly of me to not notice that it was shut in a door.
I know, you big fat stretchy cock. Okay, what's number five? Is it number four? Four? Is this four?
I don't know. I was hoping you were counting.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5. This is four, Steve.
All right. So I have two more.
Yeah. Four and two.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Oh, wait. I lied. Shut up. We have to take a break.
Okay.
Silence. Silence, Steve. I'm just going to close the door really quickly on you. We have to take a break. My break. Okay, we're back. We're going to give us number four. You ready for number four, Steve?
Yeah, I'll give you number four. Here's an obscure one. And this, actually, you know what? I'm going to break the rules a little bit, and I'm going to put two together that really have nothing to do with each other. But okay. I'm always wondering, like, why didn't more people clock that? The, mm-hmm. Just mispronunciations that we should be talking about more.
Okay,
so this
like
is a
that.
Two-parter. Part two is season 12 when Heidi N. Closet comes in and says that she's all up in her leprosy print.
Uh-huh.
Nobody's talking about leprosy print enough. And also part two of this is season 11 when Miss Vanjie is putting together her dress and like adding Barbies and flowers and stuff. And she says that she's adding all sorts of accoucrement.
Accoucrement. Yeah, those moments are so funny because they kind of feel like, they feel like the producer's like, that's funny, say it again sincerely or something. Mm-hmm. Right?
I think so.
I think like, yeah. So. A Cucamonga and leprosy print.
I got my Barbie and my Cucamonga.
Yeah, it is very that. A Cucamonga. I would say between those, a Cucamonga makes me laugh pretty big.
Yeah.
Because Heidi's a little more self-aware than Vanjie, I would say.
Yeah. Heidi would be like, yeah, I know what I said, and I said it. But yeah, Vanjie, absolutely not. She's probably Vanjie still saying a Cucamonga.
Is still one of the only queen in the history of the show that's been given a, I'm so confused, they put the like Da Vinci code over the screen as I stare blankly into the great beyond. That is so rude. It's so fucked up.
Can you believe that Vanessa Vanjie Matteo, have we seen her in Vegas? I don't think we have. Or did we?
Ooh, I want to say we might have.
I just want to add a quick sidebar that the last time we saw Drag Race Live, I was wasted and I told Latrice Royale that she was an American hero and that she was more important than soldiers.
But where's the lie?
Fair.
She is the one winning that new Drag Race Untucked series, by the way. She's the winner.
I haven't seen.
Pretty fun. It's pretty fun.
I only watch binge queens, and I only watch it when you're on it.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
I only have WoW Presents Plus only to watch Mono on Binge Queens.
Thank you. Thank you that they posted finally like 2 years after that season came out. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
I was going through a dumpster the other day and it was full of rainbow pride socks as if like somebody was just giving out rainbow pride socks for free. And there were so many of them that nobody actually wanted them. And they just had to just throw so many out because it was just such an unwanted garment.
If only that was a personally affected me. If only that story was very personal and real to my life, but it's not.
No.
But it's not. Okay, are you ready for number three? Oh my God, this is scary. This is scary. I'm flying by the seat of my pants. Okay, the number three most accidentally funny moment in the history of Drag Race is, oh God. Okay, I'm going for a big hit here. I'm actually going for a big hit here. Jocelyn Fox forcing Cher's mom to talk about abortion. It is one of the craziest... It's one of the craziest things that's ever happened on the show. And the way that Jocelyn Fox could not have foreseen the outcome. She is like, I am so sorry. I never thought that conversation topic could go in a negatively. Couldn't have seen this.
Yeah. Yeah. They, and that was Cher's mom and Chaz was on, right? No, yeah,
it was Chaz or Chad, as I like to call him.
Yeah.
So Chad. That's also a good one. Fuck. That's going to be in the honorable mentions too. Trinity K. Bonet calling Chaz Chad for an hour. So Chad, that moment to me is insane. And the fact that it's also insane that Georgia Holt is, you know, pro-choice, like that sucks. But it's also insane that Jocelyn was like, this is the time to talk about this in a drag race challenge.
That's what I miss about those older, messier seasons was like everything wasn't planned and produced with an inch of its life. So they had moments that would truly like wow you like, oh, okay. So this is canon now.
Yeah.
Now we don't get stuff like that anymore. Do they? Yeah, we still have celebrity guests because we had Frankie Grande season 15. I'm also remembering Naya Rivera being, you know, completely befuddled as to whether or not the interview was over.
She was very offended.
Deeply
offended. How dare you?
Is nobody going to say goodbye to me?
Yeah. Rest in peace.
I was about to say, but now we all have, but I was like, no,
I was going to say a really poor taste joke. I mean, yeah, she's.
And thank goodness we didn't.
And thank goodness we didn't. Because I would never say. She's just as confused by boats as she is sets on Drag Race. I would never say that. That's a disgusting joke to make.
And I appreciate you telling me what you would never say because you have the class.
I have clout, class,
and
dignity.
I was going to say you have the clout, the class, and the clit. That's my Drag Race.
That's better.
Instead of charisma, that's uniqueness, better. Nerve, and talent, I want girls who have the clout, the class, and the clit.
CCC?
CCC.
Mm-hmm. Clit. Okay, and what's...
Go ahead.
No, you go.
I didn't have anything. It was improv.
Never. Stop it. What is the number two most accidentally funniest moment in the history of the show, Steve?
Okay.
This is hard.
I know.
If we're going to do everything else, we'll get honorable mentions, though.
Oh, great, 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 great. Then yes, this is my all-time favorite Drag Race moment.
Okay.
This is something I revisit all the time.
Okay.
It's not obscure, so I do apologize. Well, it might be obscure for some of, yeah.
That's okay.
It's obscure to the new generation, but the first 60 seconds of Can I Get an Amen? is Drag Race to me.
I'm clapping,
it's Drag
Steve.
Race to me.
Yes.
I lost all hope today.
That is so
my
good.
My car broke down. It's empty.
When I realized these women were men.
Lost and confused. I had to...
Look deep within. Yes.
I had to smile from within when I realized these women were men.
That is, I'm so glad you put that on the list. Today. That is a excellent one, Steve.
I went to a friendly bar. There was a show. This one's different. I mean, the doors, Coco Montrese opened. Coco Montrese crawled so that Maya Iman LePage could run with rhyming equal
good
with
flip.
Equal.
Yes. Yeah, no, truly rhyming equal with equal. Oh my God, we almost forgot rhyming equal with equal.
I'll never forget rhyming equal with equal. And the thing is, I love that song. I truly love Ivy Winters and Jinx Monsoon in that song. Mm-hmm. And it's such a funny sandwich of like the bread is the awfulness of Coco and Alyssa. Mm-hmm. And the other slice of bread is the awfulness of Roxy, shiny sequins gown, mm-hmm. And Detox. Alaska's fine. She's good. But then in the middle, you have Jinx and Ivy who just fully kill it.
Who destroy and everyone else is lost.
Yes, everyone else is lost. Yeah, I wish
Roxy
that Ivy
is just repeating her snatch game. It's like, okay,
when
sure.
life gets you down, put on a shiny sequins gown. But the last
just
is great.
Just tuck
your junk and hit that runway. What a song!
It'll get better someday.
How much would you pay? How many hundreds of dollars would you pay for a show that was only 3 minutes long? But it was the whole cast of season 5 reuniting to sing Can I Get an Amen?
I'm honestly going to say $260.
Yeah.
I would pay that.
I'd give away half of my gold and feathers to see that.
Steve, your goose is getting away. Your goose.
No.
Get her. Yes, get her. Good. Yes, good.
Got it. Yeah.
Got her. Okay, now it's on me to label the number one most accidentally funniest moment in the history of Drag Race ever.
Oh, I hope you get it right. I hope you get it right.
God, this is hard.
Oh, I hope you get it right.
Between two, I feel pretty good about this one.
Okay.
I feel pretty good about this one. Okay, and I think it rounds out the wholeness of this list, because this list does a great job representing the new generation, the old generation, all of it. The number one most accidentally funny moment in the history of the show is LaGanja's stand-up.
Oh, you are right, and I cannot. if you think that Raven could not believe that Mimi was number one, I cannot believe that I forgot to include LaGanja's stand-up.
I know. And trust me, there's other funnier ones I wanted. Like, not funny ones, but more deep-cut ones.
There's not.
This is the number one most accidentally funny moment. It's Drag Race canon. It's the most quotable. It has dying old dead people's face, like slack jawed mouths in it as she says, "It's dry, kind of like your vagina. It's iconic.
Is hers the set? Because somebody's knitting. Do we see the knitting during hers? Or that might be during Ben.
It might be,
yeah. We see knitting at some point.
We see knitting. We get iconic lines like, I was very gay when I was organizing my alphabetically named Beanie Babies. We get a reference to the show Weeds. We get if it ain't green, I ain't interested. It's the best. It's the best.
I'm so embarrassed because I'm going to fold one of my honorable mentions into this because I'm so embarrassed because I forgot about Laganja's stand up, but I had put as an honorable mention Pheromone's roast.
That's which is great.
Which is also great, but again, Laganja crawled so that Farrah could run because Laganja's is like
has a lot in her career.
Yeah, and Farrah is just cruel. Like, Farrah's not even attempting to be funny. Farrah thinks the assignment is just now cruelty. That Michelle's dick breath has stunk up the room, let's hear it for Peppermint.
Oh my God, it's so crazy. She says she calls Tamar a nobody. She's like, you're nothing. You're nothing. Your sister is everything and you're shit.
Well, first she says Tamar or Tamar. Who knows how to pronounce it?
Yeah. It's iconic. Pheromone, I have to say, can we talk honorable mentions now?
Oh, yes, please.
Because I have a Pheromone honorable mention, which is, there's so many, but a weird obscure one is when she gets eliminated on All Stars 4 and she's trying to kiss the mirror and she can't reach the mirror and she is so frustrated that she's like, God, stupid, is another accidentally funny Pheromone moment.
Did you know that she inspired a song from Drag Race Live in Vegas because she was like, I just want to kiss the mirror, just the mirror, just the mirror.
I didn't know that. Yeah, I know that's a fact. We get the, obviously her saying no when Eureka's eliminated. No.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Like, Pheromone is good.
I love Pheromone. And I
do too. Sometimes
the show and the fandom, I don't think really appreciate, like, we're so, like, just the ones that are just so real and imperfect are like, I love Pheromone for falling, for
me
not
too.
Being able
oh
to kiss
God.
The mirror, for like, I just,
For not having a station in season 9, that she was like the last queen to get a station and she didn't have a station and she's like, where's my station?
And in between every cutting insult that she thought might be a joke was that.
Not to mention the fact that she couldn't put sequins on a bra. She was absolutely overcome by the assignment of putting sequins on a bra.
It can be hard. I don't know if you know this, but Alexis Michelle almost went blind stoning a corset once. So I would be a little kinder to Pheromone if I were you, Mono.
She has good ones. Alexis has a lot. Okay, honorable mention. Hit me with them. We'll try to hit up.
Yes,
we'll
real quick. We're just going to
spew them
real
off
quick.
Rapid fire. Yeah.
Yes, rapid fire. Season 8 makeover challenge interpretive dance to If I Dream.
Oh my God, that's so good. And Kim Cheed like swapping brooms. Oh my God, that's so good. Okay. Alyssa Edwards being asked as Katy Perry if she kisses a girl and she gives us the iconic line, Rue never.
Rue never. I mean, another iconically unintentionally funny queen.
I mean, everything Alyssa does.
Bring back that Dancing Queen show on Netflix. I don't think I liked it, but at least I got to see
But bring
Alyssa
it back.
Edwards. Yeah. All right. Season 12 reunion, RuPaul's Mask.
Very good. Very, very, very good. Yeah, crazy. The epitome of crazy, the epitome of the show. The show can't, to quote Roxy Andrews, you can't come for the show. You can't come for the show. The show is this crazy. You can't come for a show this crazy because it's too crazy.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to throw in season 16. Mama, kudos for saying that, for spilling. This was iconic. This was iconically unintentionally funny because Plain Jane is disaffected.
Yeah. I mean, and I feel like I probably heard it on your podcast, but I feel like it wasn't even that horrible of a thing that she said. Like, I feel like she was, you know, in that moment, I don't think Q took it as, you know, not, mm-hmm. I don't give a shit. I think, you know, we're getting ready. And like, what would be better for Plain Jane to be like, what? HIV? Oh God, everybody. Like, I thought that she downplayed it in a very yeah. respectful way while also, you know, giving her kudos mama for spilling.
I agree. I get where it came from.
Let's stick with season 16. Q's cover for her book, Alphabet Soup, Savor Every Bite. She's standing in soup.
I love it. No comment. Perfectly done. No comment. I'll add, Coco's talent show from All Stars 2. I mean.
Oh, bless. Beep, oh, bless. Beep, 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 well, it, beep, isn't beep, the story beep, that beep. Like she had to last minute change the whole thing because they wouldn't clear her song?
Yes. I think she was going to do Janet. And they were like, yeah, right.
The disrespect. If I had to imagine, I feel like she probably showed up with Janet and they were like, Coco, we told you 3 months ago you couldn't do Janet Jackson.
That's also very possible.
And she'd be like, I just didn't get the email.
Yeah, Coco's wild.
I forgot my email password.
When you watch Drag Race Untucked, you'll be reminded that Coco is poorly behaved all the time, no matter what.
I think they said, Coco, we emailed you that you couldn't do Janet. And Coco said, oh my God, I forgot about email. all right, keeping this going.
Yes.
This one is for Nicole Byer. Spice as Miley Cyrus, eating a hammer like it's a corn on the cob. I remember two things about that season's Snatch Game. Lucy LaDuca, who I will always be a Lucy LaDuca apologist. I think last time I was on this podcast, I was going about Lucy LaDuca.
She's a talented queen.
Yeah. Drag Race canon is that if you want it and let people know you want it, go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
Oh, you're going to tell us how many mini challenges you won? Mm-hmm. Fuck off. Go die. Fall off a bridge, you idiot bitch.
That's canon. That's canon. You can't care. You can't care that you're winning.
All right. I have two more honorable mentions.
Okay. I have another one, which is, I definitely have two more. Another one is Kenya Michaels in the prison acting challenge saying, "Ugh, I kind of like a schmell."
Yes.
And she's holding her nose. And RuPaul has to say, "You like the smell. You like, your character likes the smell." And then it cuts to dead faced Kenya Michaels going, she doesn't get it, but God bless her. It's not because she's not intelligent. It's because there's a language barrier, but it's very funny.
Boy, oh boy, this show loves to punish women who learned English second.
100%.
My brain has rewired that memory. So I always hear it in my mind as kind of Italian, like, ooh, I kind of like the smell.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
This is a recent one. Safira's tiny titties.
Love. That was a good one. Tiny titties. I'm going to put in another obscure one. Charlie Hyde saying to Eureka, could you shut up for a second? Just because Eureka wouldn't fucking stop talking.
This is not an honorable mention, but something I thought about as an honorable mention, but then I wasn't sure. Eureka, don't joke about that.
Yes, don't joke about that is iconic.
Just the idea that in this workroom, on this show, we're ever going to say, don't joke about that.
Don't
joke about that. But that's not my last honorable mention. Okay. My last honorable mention is, drum roll.
Wait, before you do it, I'm going to do one because yours sounds like it's good.
Okay.
One more rogue one because I want to end on yours. One more rogue one is the end. There's no, if it's the same, I'll die. The end of the American Rue horror story, which is RuPaul and a go-go, one of the pit crew in a full leather mask doing some sort of can-can kick as if that's a good way to end this acting challenge.
I love when RuPaul just decides to dance.
Yeah. That challenge sucked. And then to slap us in the face again with, this challenge sucked. It wasn't funny. It wasn't good. And now RuPaul and a man in a leather mask are doing the can-can. Iconic.
Oh, that was, now that I think about it, that was a really funny episode. That was a really funny challenge. I remember Raja saying, we're going to be supermodels.
And they were like, you dumb, stupid bitch. That sucks. And it's like, that's not any worse than anything else anyone is doing.
Why the fuck would you make a choice, you idiot? You idiot bitch. Yeah. Stop making choices, you fucking idiot bitch.
100%.
All right.
Okay, the final honorable mention is...
Dita Von T's Alone in the Gold Bar.
Clap, clap, clap. Wow, that's a good one.
I do believe that this was... I don't want to say production faked it. I do believe that... I would imagine that eventually... Because doesn't she just end up leaving?
Yeah. Yeah. Feel, but they're like busy yelling at each other.
Yeah. I feel like that was probably milked by production a little bit. And they were like,
Yeah.
So that's my last one. But I also have an award. If there's time for me to give out an award.
Yeah, please. Of course.
All right. This award is called the Unintentionally Unfunny Award. And I want to give it to the comedy queen who has never once... ever on RuPaul's Drag Race made me laugh in
messy.
Any capacity.
Can't wait. And messy. Okay.
And I want to give this award to Miss Cracker.
Wow.
I didn't come here to make friends, Mono.
You came
this
here to make
This is not Drag
Casserole.
Her's best friends race.
No, it certainly is not. Fuck yeah. Okay,
also, I'll
Steve.
Notice what you didn't say was, oh, but wait, that one...
I am going to say she made me laugh. She's made me laugh.
Okay.
During the SheMZ. Cracker has absolutely made me laugh during the SheMZ challenge.
Okay.
Okay.
Great. I didn't go back and watch her whole filmography.
Yeah.
Filmography.
Sorry, I had to do that. Keep going.
The line is free. Phonography. Talk about sexy pornography.
Hey. Oh, that's a good one. Okay, Steve, tell us where we can come support you, where we can find you online.
Don't. I want to live my life on my own terms. Don't come support me.
Okay,
No, you can listen to my... I guess this is a great place to promote my improvised podcast. Totally Pals.
Look, some of our listeners like the improv. Some of them did not.
If you are like me and think that there are way too many podcasts of former actors recapping TV shows they were on, mm-hmm. I improvised a podcast about a fake TV show that didn't exist called Totally Pals. And each episode we recap an episode of a show that's not real.
It's so funny.
Thank you. You've been on it. You were very funny. I believe your episode, we had a seance and we ended up sending, I think it ended with you, Betsy, and Drew all in hell.
Yep.
So yeah, we're going to have an episode where we bring you guys back from hell.
I would really like that.
Find out where we're at and, you know, find out how hell was.
Well, if you like that, link is in the podcast description. Just click clack below. If you like this podcast, follow us at Drag Her Podcast. If you like bad drag, come to the Bad Drag Race finale on May 18th at Dynasty Typewriter. Amazing gaggy show. It'll be the all winners finale and one performer will be crowned the worst of the worst. You cannot miss it. Tickets will sell out. If you want to support us in other ways, you can give us 5 stars at the Apple Podcasts review. That's the best way to support us. Give us a rating on Spotify as well. You can give us 5 stars like this person, Just TGS, who wrote, you're a winner, season 16 finale. Love Drag Her, the one and only RuPaul's Drag Race Recap Podcast with Mono Agapian. Truly look forward to new episodes dropping Monday mornings. The only thing I look forward to on Monday morning as I listen, why I'm getting ready for work in the mornings. Love supporting a fellow North Carolinian. And wait, there's more, Steve. I love season 16.
Do I need to be here for this?
Yeah.
Okay.
I love season 16 and I fell in love with Nymphia Wynn on her first episode and declared her my winner from day one. I was thrilled with her crowning and couldn't wait for the Drag Her season 16 finale episode to drop. However, I was sadly disappointed by this episode, as while your co-host seemed charming, I was disappointed that Pat had only fast-forwarded through the episode, and it seemed you were all more invested in talking about his dead wife. May she rest in peace.
I don't think...
It keeps going.
Okay, keep going.
The banana.
I can't believe I said, should I be here for this? As if I should. Oh my God, this is great.
The banana queen and all the contestants deserved a better send off to an extremely entertaining season. Was Oscar, Nicole, or Rachel not available? Look forward to the podcast redeeming itself with All Stars 9. Shout out to my girl, Roxy Andrews. Can't wait to have her slay the runway. Hopefully the musical challenges are limited. I don't need her killing any more rhymes. Thanks for the laughs and your witty perspective on all things Drag Race. Thank you, Just TGS.
Well,
I appreciate
Just TGS,
you leaving a review.
I want to apologize to Just TGS for this whole episode.
Yeah.
And I want to apologize to Miss Cracker. That was kind of mean. I'm sorry, Miss Cracker.
did that leave a taste in your mouth?
No,
I want to apologize to the goose you're living with. We didn't ask her how she's doing one bit. Not for one second.
She's fine. She got a new job. It's taking a lot out of her. She got promoted. She's office manager now, and that's a lot.
Really? At the Sonic?
Yeah, she's office manager at the Sonic, because obviously, like, there's the manager's office.
Yeah.
So there's the manager who works in the office, and then she manages the office manager's office.
Can I ask if she's an office manager of the office manager, why she wears roller skates?
That's part of...
Really?
That's part of... Geese famously can't walk on tile. The restaurant and the kitchen and the office, it's all tile. So she has to roller skate around because of the tile.
She's so
brave. You didn't know that? You didn't know that geese don't walk on tile?
I went to public school, so I didn't know that.
Oh, no, you dumb dumb.
I'm an idiot. Thank you all so much for listening to our episode. Till next time, let the music play.
Can I get an amen?
Can I? Where my people at?
Can I get an
amen? Where my people at?
That was a HeadGum Original.